This is Malone Church Podcast, and I'm the Reverend Catherine Viner. And we're a church who are committed to being rooted and grounded in love, living and growing together. You can connect in with what we're doing on YouTube or Facebook and find any information on our website. Welcome to our worship together. I hope whether you're at home or on holiday, wherever you are joining us from, that you know that God is with you as we worship him together now. As we come to the end of summer and the weather is reminding us that it is coming to the end of summer, we are finishing off today our summer series, Honest Conversations. And Nikki's going to share with us later from Psalm 145. But I hope over the past 10 weeks or so that we have been looking at honest conversations and taking some of the Psalms as a means to having these honest conversations. I hope that you've been encouraged to have honest conversations with God about loss, fear, blessing, expectations, identity, and today about the greatness of God. The Bible is so grounded in our world and in reality. It's one of the things I love about it. But at the same time, it reveals and it calls us to something and someone greater. Listen to these words of David in 1 Chronicles chapter 16. He uses these words to call God's people together, to worship God, and to remember who God is as they worship. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 8 to 9 and 23 to 24. These are the words that David says. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him. Sing praises to him. Tell of all his wondrous works. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations. Make it known. His marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. This is the God we worship, and this is the God who is with you, the God who is great. Let's turn to God and let's pray. God, you are great, and the Bible tells us of the great things you have done, and you continue to be great. You've done great things in our lives. We live with such comfort, food, heat, light, clothing, money and opportunities. You have been good to us and we haven't deserved any of it. Help us, as David says, to tell the world of your goodness. How good you have been to us, how good you have been to the world, and how you continue to be a good God. Thank you for all the Psalms, many written by David, that speak of your greatness, alongside conversations about how in this world we need your greatness, and sometimes we struggle to see it and know it. But we remember that no matter what we can and cannot know, what we can and cannot see, you are a great God. David was right when he said to tell the nations that the Lord reigns. Your world has forgotten about you. Nations are driven by greed, power and fear, whereas you, God, are all about love and truth, justice, kindness and generosity and hope, because you have good things for us. Forgive us that we forget about you. Thank you for your church that reminds us who you are. Use your church to remind your world who you are. So as children return to school, students prepare to return to university, as summer comes to an end, help us to go into this new season, new time with you with us, as our great God. Help us to live out the good news that we have a God who has done good things and is good. May we, your church, show the world and let the world know this. And as Nikki speaks to us in a moment, fill us with more faith, more hope, more boldness and courage to be your people in our homes, streets, schools, offices, and the rugby pitch, the hockey pitch, at the golf club, the football club, in our gyms and coffee shops, in a world that is overshadowed by COVID-19, and the reminder that we are human. Remind us who you are, God. With you, God, your greatness, your Son Jesus and his death and resurrection, we can live. Not just live in these days and in this world, but live forever and in the world to come, the world made new because of Jesus. This is your greatness. We hold on to it as we worship you now and look to the days ahead. In Jesus' great name, amen. Next Sunday, as we return to worship together in our church building, we're going to begin our new teaching series, Confident with God, looking at the book of Nehemiah. This is a book about a people returning to rebuild their city, their community, to regain their identity. It's about God's people who recover and reunite after a time of exile when they're apart, they're dispersed, they're disconnected, and many are discouraged. So this book is so relevant for this moment, for the season ahead, as schools begin, as we gather together as a church family, and as we look to the future, confident with God.
Reading from the New International Version, Psalm 145. I will exalt you, my God the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty. And I will meditate on your wonderful works. They tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They celebrate your abundant goodness, and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All your works praise you, Lord. Your faithful people extol you. They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is trustworthy in all he promises and faithful in all he does. The Lord upholds all who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and faithful in all he does. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever.
Good morning, everyone. I wonder if you've ever found yourself in the company of a fanatic. Or maybe we have some amongst us this morning, some people who are really passionate about something. Sports fanatics, you'll find, are very quick to talk about their favourite sport and their love of the game. They will be able to tell you what team they support, all of their players, all their statistics, what they've won, maybe what they haven't won. And they'll even be able to tell you how well the manager's doing and what he should have done differently. You might even find some sports fanatics get together and make a fantasy league so that they can play with the best players about and take part in some friendly competition. Or maybe we have some fanatics amongst us this morning who are really passionate about fitness. Or maybe cars is your thing. Or maybe you really love music. It might be that the best news you got all year was the fact that during lockdown, Taylor Swift wrote and recorded an entire album that she released very recently. Whatever their passion, you'll see how they talk about it quickly and enthusiastically and repeatedly to anyone who will listen. I definitely have had my fanatic moments throughout the years as different things have caught my attention. Some things that I talk incessantly about, maybe even annoyingly so. I used to be fanatical about a TV show called Grey's Anatomy, and I made it my mission to get everyone I knew to watch this show. I told everyone, you must watch it, it's the best thing on. And I was very proud to have got some of my friends as hooked on it as I was. Now, many years later, my interest has faded, as it tends to do with different things. Psalm 145 is the psalm of someone who's fanatical about God. You can imagine David, who wrote this psalm, talking quickly and enthusiastically as he lists all of the things that make God great. All of the ways that we can see his greatness and his glory. This is the psalm that introduces the grand finale of praise that runs through Psalm 150. Throughout the psalms, we have seen all of life's struggles, all of life's experiences, the highs and the lows, but they all lead us to this great crescendo of praise to God. We end on a high as we look to God and remember who he is. I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. David is describing here the unfathomable greatness of God. David was the most powerful king in that part of the world at that time, and yet he doesn't hesitate to bow before God and acknowledge him to be his king. In a day where great kings often demanded this from their own subjects and lived in splendor, it's so significant that David effectively proclaims, I am not God. I am nothing in comparison to the living and true God. He is my king. He alone is great. He alone is worthy of praise, and I exalt him. The King of Israel is saying that he will submit to God as his king. And he begins and ends this psalm with praise. Praise acts like the two bookends of this psalm, and throughout it he's describing why he's praising God. Like a fanatic, he's listing off all the reasons why God is the greatest, and he wants everyone to know why. And so here we have this introduction to this grand finale of the book of Psalms. Ending on a high, David is pointing us to who God is. And he is worthy of all praise, even in the midst of life's struggles. Even after all of the honest conversations we've had up until now. And so what is it that's making David talk so energetically and enthusiastically and so passionately about God? Well, the first thing David points us to is God's great works. He says, one generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. I will meditate on your wonderful works. I will proclaim your great deeds. We can see God's mighty works throughout all of Scripture. It's how we begin. It's the very starting point. In Genesis chapter 1, we see God's mighty work of creation. We see our Creator and our creative God speaking the world into existence, creating everything as it should be in perfect working order. I know that many of us encounter God in the midst of his creation. That is how so many of us experience his greatness and his glory and enter into his very presence by surrounding ourselves with the beauty of his creation. We also see God's great works throughout so many stories and in so many people's lives in the Bible. We see it through his promise to Abraham that he's going to make him a father of many nations and bless all of them. We also see his mighty acts in Exodus, when the blood of the Passover lamb protected the firstborn, and when he parted the Red Sea to lead his people out of slavery. And we also see God's works through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. God reveals himself and continually is revealing himself as being both abundantly good and absolutely righteous. And this is the second thing that David points us to as he describes the greatness of God. All of the reasons why he's praising him. They celebrate your abundant goodness, he says, and joyfully sing of your righteousness. When you read through verses 13 to 20, you see that they are oozing with goodness and kindness and grace. God's great works come out of his great goodness. God is great because God is good. And so when people testify about the works that God has done, when we see it in Scripture and when we hear about it even today, they are revealing his goodness. And David is on a roll here as he talks about the goodness of God. You might find that as you read it, there's something in particular that really stands out to you. Something that catches you about God's character and who he is. I'm always struck by the faithfulness of God. And that's one of the things that David mentions, is how faithful he is. But he doesn't stop there. He goes on to talk about God's great care for each and every one of us. That he upholds us when we fall. That's something we've seen throughout the Psalms, is how God is upholding us through life struggles. That when we're low, when we're in the valley, God lifts us, walks with us, and cares for us through it all. We know that God cares for all of his creatures, and Jesus affirms this when he says, if God cares for the sparrows, how much more does he care for you? David tells us about how God fulfills our desires and watches over us. These are the verses of a fanatic who knows what he's talking about. These are the verses of a man who knows his God and who believes that what he is saying is true. My God is the greatest, and here's why. God shows that he is good not just through his great works, but also by his love. We know that that is who God is. That he is a God of love. For God so loved the world that he sent his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. David starts praising God for his love. He is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. All we need to do is look at the ministry of Jesus to see that everything he did was motivated by love and compassion for others. And we can see this in a story in Luke chapter 7, verses 12 to 15, where Jesus raises a widow's son from the dead. Because we're told when he saw her, he had compassion on her. And he said, "Do not weep." Compassion led to the miracle of Jesus raising this widow's son back to life. Love is at the very center of everything he did. In 1 Corinthians 13, we're told that love should be at the very center of everything we do as well. Otherwise, we're doing it all in vain. If I speak in the tongues of men or angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. David is reminding us of the greatness of God's love. If you can imagine, it's almost like all of the layers of who God is being peeled back. First, we see God's great works and his faithfulness. And next, we go down to the layer of goodness. And as we continue to peel all the layers back, we find at the very center, the very core of who God is love. What Psalm 145 does is remind us of who God is. That's what David is doing here. He is magnifying the greatness and the goodness of God. And when we are reminded of these things, it kindles in us a God-centered hope and peace and awe. And I think these are things that we need reminded of daily. Time and time again, we need to remind ourselves of who God is. Because when we know who God is, when we have a vision of his greatness, it helps us to overcome despair and anxiety and apathy. As we've seen throughout the Psalms, it's easy to despair or to grow hopeless in life or in our circumstances. Cynicism, hopeless despair, anxiety is all around us. It's everywhere today. And what can start to happen is it starts to sow seeds of doubt in the goodness of God and maybe even a disbelief in his greatness. But when we read Psalm 145, our cynicism gets attacked. Our despair gets confronted. And if we lift our eyes to the King, whose greatness is unfathomable, then our hope can be restored. Our joy can be restored. Psalm 145 is teaching us about God-centered optimism. Not naive optimism that comes and goes like the wind and changes in our circumstances, but hope that's grounded in what we know to be true. It's easy to become anxious in this life. fearful or paralyzing anxiety can rob us of our joy, and it turns us inward upon ourselves. But Psalm 145 points us towards God. That's what David is doing. He's pointing us towards God and shows us that it's He who sustains and satisfies every living thing. He is worthy of our trust. We can rest in His care. This psalm also confronts our apathy. And I think this is something that we can struggle with throughout our lives and in our faith. Familiarity can make us complacent or apathetic, and we can lose this sense of awe about God. But as David excitedly rhymes off all of the things that make God great, like a fanatic talking about his greatest passion, it reminds us of the awesomeness of God, the greatness of God, of a good God who has love at the very centre of who He is. And so my prayer this morning would be that as we consider this psalm of praise, this conversation about the greatness of God, may it confront any despair or any anxiety or perhaps any apathy we may have. Would it be a reminder of the greatness of God, His great works, His great goodness, and ultimately His great love? Amen.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, You are great. You are vast. And You are magnificent. God, You are our fortress. Only in You are we truly safe. We thank You that You have called us together, even though we are still worshipping remotely, as part of the great family of Your people. We thank You for the common bond You have given us in Christ. God, we thank You for Your limitless patience, always forgiving us despite our failure to serve You as we should. We thank You, God, for Your constant care, watching over us as a father watches over his children. Help us, God, to be obedient, to seek Your guidance, and to trust Your judgment. We pray for those who have been elected to serve in government, that they do so for the good of our country. May they guide us and give us clarity, especially at this time of confusion, as we are still in the midst of this ruthless coronavirus pandemic. God, we pray for those outside of our church who have created barriers with others. Unite Your people in every place, drawing together those of different denominations, outlooks, and traditions. May there be respect between us all and a willingness to work together as one. We pray for those who experienced the terrible flooding last Tuesday, especially in Newcastle, for those who have had to move out of their homes and face a long period of uncertainty as repairs are being carried out. And we also pray for businesses who are just coming out of lockdown but have had to close their doors again. God, we ask that You comfort and heal all those who are suffering in mind and body and spirit. For those who have just received a life-shattering diagnosis. For those who have had surgery or are waiting for an operation. Or for those who are struggling with mental health. For those caring for a partner or a family member or a friend. For those who are coping with a bereavement, whether it is recent or some time ago, It doesn't matter what the timeline is. When you have loved someone, it still hurts. May all these people know your presence with them and that you are their strength. God, over the last lot of months, you have given us as a church family true concern for each other, a genuine awareness of our congregation and neighbourhoods, and a real openness to each other. We pray that as we plan to return to our church building next Sunday, that we do so both with confidence and in a safe way. God, we have called ourselves your family. Let us be a family united. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, I pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening. And if you'd like further information, go to our website or connect with us on YouTube or Facebook. But in the meantime, stay safe and stay faithful.